Thank you for tuning in to the I Am Necessary podcast. I want to take a minute to give a shout out to all of my supporters. I want you guys to really understand how much I appreciate your support and your love. And if you're not a supporter yet, you can become one by going to anchor.fm/I Am Necessary. That's anchor, spelled anchor.fm/I Am Necessary. Scroll down, find the support tab, and click support. And when you support me, you're supporting the community. You're supporting a lot of nonprofits. That's what I do with these proceeds. And, you know, I know Thanksgiving is not around the corner, but it's coming soon. I'm already gearing up to make sure I buy a bunch of turkeys for a lot of people in need. All right? Enjoy the show. Hello and welcome to the I Am Necessary podcast. As always, this is your guy and host, Marcel. Thank you guys for joining us. This is, I think, like season, you know, I just make up these seasons, the names as I go. I don't even know what season one, what season two. But what I do know, oddly enough, is this thing is at about, last time I checked, 45,000 downloads.
Wow.
Yeah.
Congrats, dude.
Yeah,
that's
you
huge.
Know, that's that Joe Rogan stuff. You know what I mean? But wow, I'm like,
you better watch out.
You know what I'm saying? I'm like, man, people really, really listen to you, you know, if you have something to say. And with that being said, this evening, so you might hear this in the morning or whatever, but we're all tucked away this evening. And what we're doing is I have a random little panel here, maybe random to you, but not random to me. And there's four of us, and we just want to have a organic conversation about relationships from three novice and one semi-professional. So that's what we're doing. So let me get people introduced. So I'll start with you, Kwame. Just tell them who you are, if you're in a relationship, for how long, and what you do.
Yeah, so Kwame Crooks, been with my fiance now probably 12 years. We just got engaged 4 months ago? And I'm in software sales. I've been in software sales for about 6 years.
Okay, 12 years, got engaged 4 months ago.
Yeah.
I know what those questions have been like forever.
I see Laura looking at me too. It's been a long
time. Yeah, you know, long time. Yo.
Just dodging shots. Like,
I know.
Okay, Miss Juanita.
I'm single and been single for a very long time. I am a clinical coordinator for an insurance company. I'm excited to be here.
All right. Welcome aboard. Welcome aboard. El Boogie.
Well, I am in a relationship, been in one for 5 years. My boyfriend and I have been together for 5 years, and I am a counselor, actually, a mental health counselor. I was wondering who you were saying was the semi-professional. I didn't know I thought actually, if you were thinking it was me, that's not what I do. I work with kids and I don't do I don't do couples. That's just not my thing.
That's awesome. And you all know me, married. I've been married about 8 years, and I think we were together 9 years before we got married. So. You know, if you need to
myself, you're always a better man than you what you wanted.
Yeah, you know what I mean? I don't, you know, I'm not a guy that relents to the pressure. And, you know, fortunately, I married someone who wasn't a pressure cooker, right? So, with that being said, let's jump right into it. And I want to start this one off with, what's the number one thing, in your opinion, that's a must in order for a relationship to work? Let's start with you, Kwame.
I mean, this is probably a little corny, but I got to say communication. Mm-hmm. Definitely communication, but I think it's also imperative. It's not just the fact that you communicate, is that you learn how to communicate and you seek out the resources to communicate better. You know, I think a lot of times we communicate at work a certain way, and then we don't think we should bring that same skill set home, and you probably should. You don't have to communicate the exact same way, but there's some skills that you're going to learn at work, patience, active listening, you know, all that you probably should bring home to your spouse.
Okay. Communication, the standard out. Okay. Mm-hmm. Right. What about you, Laura?
I think that's a really hard question for me to answer. I don't know if I know. I think the only thing I can think of is trust, and not trust like I trust that you're not like a liar or whatever, but trust like I feel comfortable enough to know that I'm whoever I am and you are whoever you are. And I'm not trying to change your behavior with my behavior. And you know that you're not trying to change my behavior with your behavior. That's the level of trust that I think we have to have, but is the hardest to get. Because we don't feel like that. We don't trust ourselves enough, I think.
Exactly. Yeah.
Some good ones. Ms. Juanita?
I have to go with communication as well. Knowing how to communicate, what works, and the constant communication. Like we meet someone and, you know, you find out all the things in the beginning, but like continually as we're growing, like this works for me, this doesn't work for me, what works for you. But I think in every aspect it's communicating.
And I was pondering this question, right? Because I'm usually a communication guy, but as I thought about it, for me, if I peel it back another layer, for me I think it's connection. And connection is that feeling of kind of being on the same team. You know, you understand each other. It's like, she gets me or he gets me. And at the heart of it, I think we are only communicating to try to make a connection. And it's having the strong connection between you that will make you want to communicate with each other and make communication feel more open, honest, and big word here, safe, right? Mm. So it's like, follow me if you will. So communication from a connected place will build on your connection. And the connection will build on the communication. So it's that the chicken or the egg kind of theory.
But I think the biggest key to what you just said, though, is how all of that should be supporting lead to a safe factor. Because I can't count how many times I've made great connections with people I probably shouldn't have made great connections with. That probably wasn't the best for me.
You just never know. And communication is really huge because that's... You got to communicate in everything you do, not just about your finances, which we'll get into all of that stuff, but just when it comes down to, okay, here we are in the sack. You know what I mean? So let's see. How do you roll? You want me to, are we chandelering or are we, what are we doing? Right. So that first awkward encounter, you think you know what the other one, and you can make it a little awkward. Unless you just get in. And then once you get in, you kind of got to process. Like, how was that? If this is your partner, not just, okay, bye, money's on the nightstand kind of deal. Right? But if it's your partner, ultimately, the intention is, I want to please you. So sometimes I'm not going to just pretend I'm this guy. Sometimes I need to be taught what works for you, right? And if that's in my repertoire, that's what I'm doing. I put the pride at the door because I want to get this right sooner rather than later because I've already committed that I like the person you are. So let's work through every phase of this. Let's communicate through this journey together so we can really see if this is what it is. All great answers. And there is no wrong answer because that's why I said in your opinion. Now, let me ask, what's the most difficult thing for most people to do in a relationship outside of, here's a trick, you can't use what you said was most important. Okay. So what's the most difficult thing in a relationship and why is it so difficult?
Oof. I think the most difficult thing is to decipher what's your shit and what's their shit. Like, why am I upset with you? Because is it about the content or is it about the process? Like, what just happened? Does this really matter? Do we need an explanation? Like knowing when to just let it be or to like work on yourself about it or to really ask somebody to do something differently. Like, where's the line, right? It can't be everything. You got to pick your spots, figure out what's you and what's them, and accountability versus having zero boundaries. Like, I think that's hard to figure out. Like, I think sometimes it trips me up for sure. I'm like overly accountable, right? I'll be like, okay, well, let me work on myself. Let me go read this book. Let me go Google this. Like, let me figure out how I can make this better. But it's like, stop. maybe this, first of all, is this even a problem to solve? Like, or am I just tripping on something stupid, like old shit, right? Mm-hmm. I think that's the hardest part for me, is to know where to even, what to even do when you got an issue.
I think consistency. I think it felt great in the beginning. You sold me on the courting, the dating, all that. You tried hard and I was sold on it. Then we're together for a while. You start getting lazy. I get lazy. And not that it's lazy, but we just, life happens. We're going in our day to day. Let's say we get married. We have kids. Like, we're just living now. And now nobody's needs are being met, or you're not doing the things that got me, that I know I need, or my love languages. So I think if we were intentional about being consistent, and people grow, so everything's not going to be the same, but overall, like, the same way you got me is what we need to keep up in this relationship. So I think consistency.
Yeah, I'm going to piggyback off of Laura a little bit. That's been my biggest takeaway, you know, all these years, especially after you get through the honeymoon phase. It's really about, as much as you're in a relationship with someone, you got to spend more time working on you than trying to work on someone else, or to your point, trying to make them be something you're not. You'll spend a lot of nights crying, you know, you'll spend a lot of nights with your backs to each other, you know, kind of trying to fix somebody or make someone do what you want to do. But it's taking that time to kind of figure out, why is it you want something? Why is it you're angry about something? Why is it, you know, and unpacking that. It's not, because a lot of it is not about what's happening at that moment. You know, a lot of it is about what's happened way in the past. Mm-hmm. And as much as I think a lot of us kind of know our baggage, we need to spend a lot more time talking about it, right? And talking about it with our spouse. This is why I act like this. This is why I came around. I remember this incident that happened, and expressing that, because then that starts to change the way you guys communicate going forward, you know, and it makes it easier to focus on reconciliation in various situations, you know?
Yeah, I think from experience, you know, not trying to speak to anybody, I'm just speaking to myself. A guy like me, the toughest thing was switching the mode from me to us, mine to ours, I to we, the thing, stuff, and the number one breaker-upper in the history of relationships, right? Finances. So when you really start to go there, you have to realize, oh, it's not just me anymore. I have this other person that now I'm committed to, and, you know, it's about us and ours, right? So especially, it doesn't show up until it shows up. So you can be in a relationship for quite a while, and now all of a sudden, finances start to creep up, you know, and how you have that conversation, and what does it look like, right? And what are you used to? And so how big of a change, meaning, you know, this is my money, and this is your money, or this is my money, and this is our money, and this is your money, or this is our money, right? So there's different levels to that whole finance piece, and you kind of have to filter through it. Well, this is my money, and it's quite a bit, right? And your money's cute, right? So your money's cute, but, you know, so let's talk about that, right? And then when you start to set boundaries or whatever that looks like for you, right? Yeah, the cute money going to be like, well, I thought you loved me. And I thought this was, they're going to pull up that us we card, right? You know, so it's a really tricky thing to kind of navigate.
There's a lot of ego in that too as well, right?
It is. Yeah. But again, you know, you've been functioning your whole life. First, you had a goal, mm-hmm. right? You have mm-hmm. goals. Now this other person, you can still have your goals, but there's another set of goals that you have just inherited. And so you got to kind of deal with that a little bit. You gotta, not just your goals as a couple, but you're a support system for your significant mm-hmm. other. I would hope you want to know what their goals and what their dreams are, right? So it's all of those things after you zip them up and you put your belt and you grab your purse. There's a lot of other stuff in between that has to be figured out. And with that being said, let me ask you, start with you, Juanita. On a scale of 1 to 5, how important is physical attraction to you? 1 being, nah, 5 being, oh, it's a must.
I'm gonna say 4.
You leave room for that one tooth over there on the side that you can look at.
You know, you it's like I said, I'm single, so I just that attraction throughout your relationship, I feel like is very important. And I could not imagine being in a relationship and not having that, like, ooh, you know what I'm saying? Like when you come in the room or like, that's my, like, I can't, yeah, you know, we love each other and all that, but I cannot imagine having that physical, even sexual chemistry. Like, I think that just necessary. It's necessary.
Okay. And let me ask you, Laura, which is a bigger turn on for you, the straight out of the magazine guy or the guy at the restaurant who put you behind his back and was like, wait, excuse me, how did you talk to this woman right here? You know, nobody talks to, you know, anybody like that on my watch, right? Because that's attractive, right? Mm-hmm. Confidence. There's a lot of things that are attractive outside of, oh, he's got a six pack and, you know, all of those things. So which one of those is more attractive to you?
So I like the guy that's like, don't, you know, the puts you behind you and says like, don't come at her like that. You know, like that to me is attractive. And what I was thinking when Juanita said four, I was like, I'm going to be honest, I'm going to go with five. And the reality is the five is so subjective, right? Like my physical attraction could be to somebody for a lot of reasons, right? Like what you said, like it could be about some of that. It could be about like, oh, I see you working real hard, like getting sweaty, whatever. I see you doing this. I see you doing that. This is how you come for me. All of those things kind of build up and work into that. Like when I see you, this is how I see you. And so that physical attraction kind of seduces you into a not always physical looking, right? Like, so when it's more of an essence of a person, that what I see might not be the same thing that what you see. But I got to say the other piece is when you were talking about this, I was like, so I really want to say five, like physical attraction in terms of like magazine guy. But the reality is I'm with the magazine guy who also does the other thing, but like who looks to everybody like the most attractive man in the room. And I'm like, I used to be the hot one in the relationship. But now I'm like, ugh, like you're way better looking than me. Like this puts me like in a weird place. Like, so it's like kind of that. It's funny because it's like, that's what I want. But then at the same time, I'm like, now I gotta be that. I gotta step up my own game. You know what I mean? Like you kind of want to be the things that you want other people to be for you too. So it really, like, it was funny in the beginning. I had to really check on my own sense of what do I believe that I'm attractive enough? Do I believe that I'm doing the right things to make myself a draw for the other person? And I never really felt like that before. So it's like the opposite.
So it scales 1 to 5, how important physical attraction is?
Yeah.
Geez, that's a tough one. I'm a guy, man. You know, like, you know, that's a tough one, right? So physical attraction is obviously a five. You have to be in the person. But I don't know. Attraction changes. What attracts you to someone changes over time. You know what I mean? It's not the same. You know, the idea of sexual attraction when I was 21, 22 is not what I see it today. You know, today it's the fact that we communicate, when we talk about our feelings, when we get over an issue, you know, we have makeup sex, like that's the fun for me, you know, or, you know, when she, you know, does all this love and care for me, you know, and then I can show her how much I love her. Right, and make sure she gets what she wants out of it. Like that's it for me. But at 21, you know, I remember between the ages of 21 and 20, probably like 22 and 25. You know, I had to learn to get rid of these adolescent ideas of what, you know, sex was and what a relationship and sexual attraction was all the way through. You know what I mean? Like I saw a TikTok just today where these two ladies are talking. And they were making a joke about how, like, what they say? They said something like, how, do you remember? She's saying, like, the idea of giving a blowjob when you're married is just absolutely disgusting. It's like, damn, dog, I haven't got head in a minute. You know what I mean? Right? And I thought, well, like, dang, dude, that's probably true. That's probably how she feels, right? Like, I'm not getting it nearly as much as I did when I was 24, right? In the early days, right? Because shit comes up. You get kids, get all this stuff. Right. So I don't know. Like, it's very important. But to me, and I would tell both of my boys this, you know, you got to do what you got to do, but don't let a good woman pass mm-hmm. you by. Don't be so enamored with the fact that she's, you know, what I think they call them like a Cali 10, you know, this dime piece out of a magazine, that you lose sight of, you know, what's really important.
Yeah. The physical, eventually it fades, right? And then you're left with that. But some of us, we get better with time, you know, especially a lot of men, for the most part, they seem, when they mature and the dust settles a little bit, they become a little more attractive, or they take that hard turn to the left and like, what are you even, what are we doing? Right.
But that come till they're like married or like settled down and they're comfortable. I feel like they kind of keep it going till they catch what they got to catch. And then it's like, all right, I'm good. We're home, getting home, cooked meals. I'm okay with that left sometimes. Mm-hmm.
And that's the struggle, right? That's the struggle for us people in relationships, right? You got to keep it fresh. You got to keep it real. Let me ask, I'm going to put myself out there, because everybody want to know what's right, right? When you got kids, am I doing this right? You know, is this right in a relationship? You know, you're going to ask your neighbor what's right for you, your girlfriends, you know what I mean? They don't want to see you in a relationship anyway. So they're going to tell you it's all bad, right? But as far as, because my wife and I, we always talk about it. We check each other, like our cadence. And when I say our cadence, that's our sexual cadence. So what is our repetition? And everybody's, Kwame, you hit it. I got 2 4-year-olds. So I'm tactical, you know, with how I do it. And then it's not always candles and wine. You know what I mean? And that you don't always get that, you know, so you got to figure it out. But, you know, for us, we, you know, it's about once a week at worst case scenario. And then there's other times where it's like, man, we need to, you know, come here. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? Kids go to sleep, and it's that one time, and my daughter's just looking right in the door like, why are you guys fighting? You know? So you got to deal with all of that, right? But, you know, a lot of people get insecure, and they wonder, they question their relationship with, you know, it's been a minute, you know, then you get in your head, like, is it not attracted to me? Is it me? You know, all of those things. So, anybody want to share their cadence and their story?
I've got no problem. We probably get it in about once a week, just the same. And it's not for lack of wanting to. You're just fucking tired. You know, you're just fucking tired. Yeah. But we probably get in about once a week. And then, you know, what we try to do is all get her mom to come pick up the kids. And we go out and we have a set rule, no matter what, if we go out, we have sex that night. Mm-hmm. Undeniably, we have to, right? Because it's easy to just get wrapped up in the motions and you just go and we just go to sleep, right?
And that quiet, that tired thing, you know, it's like when you're like, man, it's been about 9 days. Yeah, you getting it tonight, right? And we all fired up. And then, you know, next thing you know, it's like tomorrow. Tomorrow? Cool. Tomorrow.
I'll get you in the morning. Yeah. Go to sleep. But also little things, right? Like taking a shower together, right? Mm-hmm. You know, and so and don't forget to flirt. You know what I mean? Yeah, like, tell what you do like that. I think that's those little things, especially when in a relationship for a very long time. Like, it's easy to just let those things fall to the wayside. But I think it's also important, because something you said, Juanita, earlier, where you were like, when you said that she consistency and being attracted to them all the way through, you know, I think we as people have to remember to give people grace, mm-hmm. you know, and that we carry so much outside of what we see in each other at that time, that it's these little things that the other person may find so important. You just like fall to the wayside and just forget, you know. We have to kind of stoke the fire all the way through, and we have to let the other person know that you just stoke the fire all the way through.
And for the single woman, you know, what does that look like when you might not be on a weekly cadence or whatever? Do you get in a situation where you're like, you know what? I know I said a 4, maybe it's a 2. I need to be touched right now. So, I mean, what does that look like for you?
So being single, like, generally, when if I'm not living in the same house, person, we're dating. Generally, if we're seeing each other, when we do see each other, whether it's the weekend or during the week, whatever, it's definitely going to happen. I've dated someone, you know, lower than a four, outside of my norm.
What's his name? Really? I'm just playing.
I struggled. It wasn't giving me what I thought it was going to give me. Like, there was just, I struggled. But my regular, like, when I was in a relationship or, like, playing, I won't say playing house, but living together and everything, it was still, like, on a regular, you know, every other day, but, like, four times a week, whatever. But single, when you see that person, I don't care if we're going to dinner or just running errands, whatever, generally, you're going to find a way and it's going to happen because I don't know when the next time I'm going to see you. I don't know if I'm going to have a babysitter. Like, it's happening. And then there's times where, like, I'm single and have nothing going on and you go months and it doesn't really bother you. But when it's in front of you, you jumping on it for regardless.
Okay. Laura, how you keep it fresh? How do you keep your relationship? Yeah.
We've been together for a long time, but we don't live together. So when we're here, we probably spend like, I would say like three nights a week together or something, maybe three or four. And so probably one or two of those, like mornings usually. I'm not a morning person, but he's a morning person. So that's what we get, whatever. I'm like, okay, that'll work. So we just kind of know, we kind of can tell, like I'll usually be like, hey, like, let's go upstairs, but he's asleep on the couch. So then I'll be like, okay, when like the alarm goes off or whatever, I'll like hear his alarm and kind of like scooch on over, you know, I'll be like, oh, hey, wake up. Good morning. You know, like, but then, cause I know I get to sleep for another like 3 hours. So it's fine. So we kind of, but it's like that, you know, like I am able to stay up later, but he wakes up so early. So we kind of have to figure out what works. But if we miss that, then, and you let it go, like, that's the thing is if you miss it and then you let it go because you're tired or because of this or because of that, we talk about that sometimes where I'll be like, how long have zip it, you know, or he'll come to me and be like, yo, like, what the fuck, you know? And I'll be like, sorry, are you going to believe that? I don't know what your rules are, but anyway, so I usually can catch that. And when that happens, when it's been a minute, then we'll be like, okay, what's going on? Like, we need to stop we tend to put all the other stuff first, right? Like, we got the kids, we got the work, we got all this other things, but that can't be the only stuff. We have to still make the time to be together and to just see each other and not see each other as workers or as business owners or as parents or as helpers for each other, but like to really just take a minute to be. And when I notice that that's a long time, it's not just that. It's other stuff too. You're getting, everything else is getting in the way of not just that. And so it's like, I think that's sort of an indicator for me to be like, okay, let's check in and really see, you know, let's just get back together, you know, and be on the same page.
Yeah, it's funny because that's, for my wife, it's the longer we go without, she feels kind of disconnected.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so once we do what we got to do, she's like, okay, yeah, I'm good to go.
Yep.
Like, I just needed that little.
And we're back.
Yeah. So again, but that is, you know, something that you have to communicate to understand because people are insecure, right? So if you have this steady cadence and now that cadence starts to lengthen, okay, what's going on? Did she finally notice that I'm missing a toenail on my pinky toe? You know, now that the dust is cleared, you know, is it, okay, wait a minute, it must be something. And then we get in our own heads and we don't talk about it. And then when we get in our heads, we have a tendency to make that a reality without saying a single word. And then our actions match that myth that we've given our head. And that's where it can get dangerous. And then you have a conversation, you're already at six.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? You haven't even, right. You haven't even, it haven't even taken off the ground. And the other person's like, where is this coming from? Right. And so this is a question I want to inject here because my wife was hell bent on me asking it. Right. Cause we talk about it a lot. And that is like, when you argue, right. When you have conflict, what is your conflict style? How does that show up? Right. So And this is fresh off the presses, because my wife always roll my eyes. Like, all I listen for is doors, cabinets. She's a slammer and a stomper off her, right? So I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to give you a minute, you know, and every now and again, something has bubbled up. And then I'll be like, you okay? Because there's two doors that have slammed already. And are you okay? And where is this coming from? Whereas early in the relationship, I was a internal guy, right? Mm. I just bury it inside, or I just start to regress, if you would. Like, leave my communication style. And she's constantly, now she's on edge. Like, you know, you want to leave me? You know, like, what is it? She gets to that real fast. So I have to deal with my stuff to finally verbalize, no, it's not even that. It's not even you. So she is a stomper, slammer. And now I just call it out now, but I was a keep it in kind of guy and deal with it. What about you, Kwame? How do you guys conflict? What does that look like?
I mean, I hate to say we don't really argue, man. Mm-hmm. You know, we're in a serious, like, disagreement, you know, and I'm going to call it heated with air quotes. If we can't see each other. Yeah, if we can't really see eye to eye, then I'm just like, you know what? Digress, right? And I'll back off. And then we'll revisit it. Most of the time, it's me, though. I'm the one that's saying, like, hold on, we're not going to go to bed without, like, addressing this. This is kind of where I'm coming from. Or maybe it's the next morning, right? But outside of that, there's none of us really gets to angry to the point where we're, like, screaming at each other. There's been very minor instances where that's taken place. I've always been the type of guy that over-communicates. And that's my problem. I do the same thing in network. I over-communicate. And so I've had to try and learn and kind of hold it back. There's a timing for everything, kind of just patience, let it go. We can agree to disagree and touch on it later. And she's a type to kind of hold things. I don't want to say hold things in, but maybe kind of ignore things, you know, kind of in hopes that it'll go away. And I won't let her, because I know she will. So I'll kind of call it out and kind of force a conversation around it. So I want to know, so I know how to do it.
Juanita?
We're going to hit it head on, but I'm going to give you your space. I'm going to give you even, you know, go to sleep, whatever. But we have to talk about it. I'm a big communicator. I don't want to keep going and act like nothing happened, because it could happen again. Mm-hmm. Quiet on me. That's a trigger. You know, close up. Now I'm like thinking everything else. And, you know, we fill in the blanks when we don't really know what's happening. But I'll let you take your walk, or, you know, I need to take my walk. Let me do what I got to do. Let me sleep. I'll take my naps when I need to. I don't, you know, blow up. But we have to address it, like, sooner than later. And I'm the person that's generally like, all right, what's up? What's going on? Like, things is weird. I don't like it. I don't want to walk on eggshells. I don't like mm-hmm. the, what's up? What's going on? Mm-hmm. But I've also been in this. I'll go 0 to 100. But I had to really, but, or as a counselor, you got to take it back to your childhood. So I was also. Always. Yeah. Being my dad, rah, rah, rah. So I'm, you know, I'm like, hey, you know what? Like, we getting into it. But now, like, growth. I just want to talk about it. I just want to know what's going on. I don't want to go days and we're not speaking and things are weird. And I can't even deal with that mentally anymore, mm-hmm. honestly. What it is. Like, it drives me crazy. I'm thinking the worst. I have an anxiety. I can't function. Like, I need to know what's up. Let's fix it and let's move.
Laura?
I think I have a hard time even just deciding if something's a problem. I'm the guy who's like, okay, is this just me? Is this my thing? Am I not even? And then I'll be like, okay, it's just me. And then I won't say anything. And then I won't say anything. And then be like really hurt. And then I'm like the crier, right? So I'll be like, okay, I've been really hurt by this. It's happened 17,000 times and I didn't say anything for the last like 2 years. And so here we are. And now I'm going to cry because I'm really hurt and we've never talked about it. And he's like, what? Like, this was 2018. Okay. I'm sorry. ? So like, I don't think I have a style other than like, I fight fair. Like, I really try so hard. I overthink a fight. I'll be like, okay, if I say it this way, he's going to feel this way. Like, I'm not good at it. I'm fighting with myself. I'll have a fight with myself And then he'll be like, so are you, did you solve it? We good? Cool. Great. Like, he won't say, he doesn't need to say anything. I'll just handle it.
You already solved the problem.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's crazy. That goes back to stereotype, right? Of most women. 2017,
yeah.
Right? And now like, you're bringing this up. And what was it even me? You know what yeah. I mean? Like, yeah. I'm taking on. Now you finally pop and I get it all from all your exes or whatever. Yeah. But sometimes good men will be hurt by that. My goodness. You know, how long? I've been doing this to you for how long? And right. I had no idea that I yeah. was doing this to you. Now that's a fight.
Yeah.
Right? Like, how yeah. would you let me continue to do this, but the other person just doesn't have that skill and you don't know it. They never had to have it. Right? But again, all these things we're talking about, and that's why, man, a relationship is, I mean, you
work.
A marriage, you in, right? You are in. And I'm going to slide into a question that just popped in my head, and that is infidelity, right? So has any one of you ever stepped out on any relationship?
Am I going first?
So. I know, right? I'm like,
and I'm like, call on nobody.
Yeah, I'm
like,
who's going to go? Yeah. Yeah. I'll say I have. Mm-hmm. I have. It's not the favorite moment of my life.
So right? Two questions, right? So at that time, why? And now thinking back on it, you know, what are your thoughts looking back on it versus real time?
Real time, why? Because I was trying to get out of the relationship and that seemed like a surefire way to end it. So that was one of the why. And a lot of like other why, because I didn't have skills that I needed to have, like similar skills, right? Like, hey, this is what I need. You're not doing what I want. These conflict skills, I didn't have those. So I was like, okay, you won't want me now. Like that'll do it, right? Looking back, I think what I learned from that or what I realized is that's just simply a demonstration of my own integrity and my own ability to handle a difficult situation, handle a conflict in an effective and appropriate way. But I think at the time I just didn't have that. I didn't have that standard for myself to stand up for myself, to set and uphold boundaries was not something I ever learned how to do. I didn't learn as a kid that I had the right to say, hey, this is what I need and you need to do that or this isn't going to work. I didn't know I had the right to do that. And so I was like, well, I'll just make him not want to be with me anymore. And then that just seemed like doesn't seem that way now. That's stupid, but that's what I had at the time. So that was the tool in the toolbox, you know?
Yeah. What about you, Juanita?
No, I've never stepped out in any relationship.
Let me flip it. Have you ever been stepped out on that you know of?
Not that I know of. Not that I know
of. That's interesting. Okay. Yeah. I like that. All right. I have more faith in my people.
Yeah. And for the most part, I've been stepped out on, right? And I found out, like, years, we weren't in a relationship. It just came up. Like, I guess she was doing work on herself. And so she was like, hey, how you doing? Blah, blah. How's everything? How's your family? So I can tell she has come to a place where she's doing work. She's like, hey, I need to tell you something. And she really building this up. And she's like it's real time. And I'm like, I don't give a shit. You know what I mean? Like, she was like, I stepped out on you. I was like, okay, well, oh, great. You good? I mean, congratulations. I don't know what, you know. And I get zero about it. Like, I didn't really even remember our relationship, right? The fact that she stepped out on me. But, you know, when you get into a marriage, this always comes up, right? Because when I talk to my friends, we have that conversation. If your wife slept with somebody, would you leave her? And a lot of people, yeah, absolutely. I'm out. And I'm like, well, hold on, right? Because all this stuff we just talked about, right? Mm-hmm. That takes a lot of work. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of times I think of, well, did she cheat on me or was it an affair? You know what I mean? If she cheated on me, she lost consciousness, whatever, something happened, and she talked to me, let me deal with that. Let me weigh it out. But if you have a whole nother relationship, that's completely different than just stepping out on me or something like that. Quan, what's your experience?
I have both ways. Mm-hmm. Right? I've cheated, and I have cheated. you know, and to some of the points we discussed here, especially I cheated with my fiance on my, I cheated on my fiance in the early days. And to some of the things we talked about here, when I look back, you know, it's, that's kind of the meat of why I realized like a lot of things that you need to work on yourself, because the reason why I cheated, it wasn't as simple. I think for most people, it's not as simple as just saying like, oh, you were young and a man, so you're just sowing your oats. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. If you got a goal, you got to kind of map out what your goal is. And is your behavior now going to, you know, support what you're trying to work towards in the big picture? And that behavior wasn't going to support it, right? Based on my own childhood trauma, right? So that was some of the realizations around there. And I've been cheated on. You know, I never asked her why she cheated on me, to be quite frank. Actually, I do know why. She was 25. I was 19. She had a kid. I didn't. I don't think we're really on the right path at the same time. You know what I mean? What is a 25-year-old with a 25 with a kid? What are you doing with a 19-year-old boy at this stage? And even me and Sarah's talked about it a few times where we said, like, you know, with the whole Brittany Renner situation and PJ Washington, you know, she got pregnant for the dude and broke up with him. And we're like, Sabre, man, like, would you be okay if he brought home a 25-year-old girl? Like, he was like 19, 20. And it's like, no, man, that's just wrong. Like, what are you doing with that? You know, and so I think she was misaligned. I was definitely misaligned. You know, I didn't realize what I was getting into. And that definitely helped me. That, and I kind of carried that same behavior into this relationship when I ended up cheating on her, because I felt like I wasn't getting what I wanted out of the situation. But in the big picture, it was a very adolescent mindset. You know what I mean? Very adolescent mindset. And yeah, so learned a lot. It was pretty rough going there for a while. You guys know how that go, but here we are.
Juanita, do all men cheat?
Oh, man. You know.
Hold on. You have to say no after your answer. You need me out.
Say it again. You know what? I don't think. Okay, let me say this. I don't think all men cheat in the physical or sexual way. I do think there's some things that may happen that's inappropriate, whether it's conversations or whatever. You know, just even being in the workplace or anywhere, you know, they're looking. So I just feel physically, no, my answer is going to be no for like physically cheating. But I do feel like there's a lot of inappropriate things that happen most men.
Laura, all men cheat.
I don't think I can say all men cheat as a blanket statement. I don't think it's a male-female thing. I think it's a people thing. I think it depends on who you are and what your life has been about and what you've been through and how you learn how to handle situations and conflict. I think a lot of men cheat, but a lot of women do too, you know? Like, I don't think I can categorize it like that.
And I would say, I think fewer men cheat, but I think all boys cheat, right? Because they don't know. Kwame, 19, you don't know what's going on. You don't know what a relationship is. You don't know all those things. And to Juanita, something you said is, you know, not really sexual or things like that. But again, that's that ability to communicate, right? So what's cool in a relationship when we go to a bar, right? Like, man, you want to have sex with her? You know, I saw you watch her get up and go all the way to the bathroom. You know what I mean? Like, you really looked at her really hard, right? So, again, like, is that something? But those conversations have to be had. Otherwise, on the way home, you know, she shut down. And you're like, what's going on? What happened? And she's like, man, she's holding this in. The fact that, you know, you looked at this girl. And it's because she's a D cup and I'm an A cup, right? So, there's my insecurities. And all of those things come out. And now, to Laura's point, that was 2017. And I've seen you do it, you know, 9 times. Now I've had enough.
Right.
So, again, that's the importance of the connection, the communication. Because Laura said one of the big things for her was trust. And I learned this a lot. Because I left the relationship because of the T word. But come to find out, we had 2 different definitions, right? Mm. So sometimes with love, with all of those things, you have to define those things, right? So somebody, you know, the old, I love you, Did you hear me? I said, I love you. Right. And the other person, right, didn't say, I love you too. Right. So I love you. And I used to joke with my wife all the time. Good for you. Congrats. I like you a lot. Right. And it's the, and we were, you know, I would tease her, but my point is, well, what does that mean to you? Right. Yeah. Because your love could be my like. So yeah. If you're saying you love, and I keep saying I like you, but that's not enough for you. Well, we haven't talked about definitions. We haven't talked about trust definitions, because that's a big one, because your definition of trust could be different from mine. And one of the biggest things that happened in that relationship years ago was I'm a chocolate chip cookie head. So the girl I was dating knew that. So she made chocolate chip cookies for work. Right. And she was like, hey, I made some cookies in there. Those are for work. So, of course, you know, she came home. I got chocolate everywhere. And I mean, she was like, I can't trust you. Like, what? She was like, I made those cookies and I told you they were for work. I was like, I know, but you know I made chocolate chip cookies. So if you're making 100, I would assume you made 110. You know, not just 100 to cap on, because you know that's my thing. And not only are they my thing, your cookies are my thing. You know what I mean? So what are we talking about here? And she just was like, yeah, I can't trust you even with cookies, right? She made it about that. And we were young, right? Now, I didn't have time for that back then. Like, literally, it's like, you breaking up with me over cookies. That's the way I saw it. But, you know, women mature at a little faster rate. And so she was like, if I can't trust you with cookies, what else can I not trust you with? Well, you can't trust that I'm going to be here. I'm out. I don't have time for this. Bye. Good luck. Right? Yeah. So, but those things are small, but yet, I'm sure for all of us, they're big now. You know, we kind of have to, well, what does that mean? What are we talking about here? I want to make sure I'm honoring you, but we need definitions.
Hey, just before I go ahead, you just reminded me, like, remember when we said we were in the early days, we had just moved in together, and she had gotten home and she brought food. And I was in the house, and I was like, and she came in, I see her open the plate, and she starts eating. I'm like, yo, what's up? Like, you ain't bringing me no food? Oh, I didn't know you were hungry. I'm like, nah, this ain't gonna work. Or I never go anywhere and not bring food for you, all right? So just let you know, food is part of my love language, all right? So if you're getting food, you when you say, yo, what do you want, or you just bring it for me, that lets me know you love me, to your point. So.
Now, let me ask you this, Laura. You don't have to disclose what they are if the answer is yes, but are you keeping secrets right now in your relationship?
Oh, gosh. No, I can't, first of all. I just don't have that move. You know shit. I'm going to say it. I'm just going to say stuff. There's nothing anybody doesn't know.
Quam, you keeping any secrets?
Yeah, probably. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that was, for me, I asked that question because that was most of my work was, you know, letting go. I had a lot of secrets. Not bad things, but I was just a weird dude when it came to, you know, my stuff in my life. Like, are we there yet where you need to know these things about me, right? And how is this going to impact you or influence you? Or is this a need to know? And sometimes I'm still kind of like that, meaning if there's something happening that I'm going to take care of it, right? I'll just do it. Mm-hmm. Because I'm like, I'm going to take care of it. So why would I put this out? I won't say men, me. Why would I put that on your plate? Because you're gonna stress out about it, you're going to worry about it, but I already got it. So I see it as alleviating you, right? Because it's something, and I got it. I don't even need any. I know what to do. So now when I put it on you, you're going to have those same things I went through. Well, how did that? And I don't understand. So and I already got it. It's done. I'm fixing it. You know, I'm dealing with it for us. But now you got this on your plate. Right. So now we got the same deal on two plates. So sometimes that would be the secrets that I keep. But then, you know, my wife was like, you know, sometimes I like to know about that stuff. And then I'm going back to 2017. I told you that and you just couldn't handle it. Right. So I'm like, never again. You know what I mean? I'm not doing that anymore because you know, it's almost like, you know, raising a kid, you know, as a parent. You talk to your daughter, if you have a daughter, you know, hey, safe sex. And your daughter comes home at 17, I'm pregnant. right? So if you snap on your daughter about that, you think she's going to tell you anything else, right? Yeah. It's got to be, okay, well, you know, that's disappointing, right? Let me just say that. Come here, give me a hug. You good? So let's, what are we going to do? So now I just open a road. Now my daughter can trust me, you know, all of those things. But sometimes, right, again, thank you for teaching me that in this conversation, Lord. I'm not going to say men, people, right? Sometimes when they do something or say something, your response dictates if they go down that road again, right? And you might not even know it until later. Well, why did you lie to me about XYZ? Well, you can't handle the truth. You know, last time I told you something like this, you just went off the rails, and I'm like, okay, we're not playing that game anymore. So that's why I ask, or have you kept secrets, or have you always been kind of an open book, Laura?
Well, what you're talking about right now, right? Like that 2017 shit. That's what I get, right? That's my, but I don't like the kind of secrets that you're talking about, like, oh, well, I took care of it for you. Then I'm like, what, you think I can't handle it? Right? So it's like, you get what you created, right? So I talk about this all the time. Like, I set a precedent, right, at this stage. But that's the thing with long-term relationships, is that I was not who I am right now back then. And you're right, I handled that wrong, but I don't want to be held accountable for that stuff. I don't want to be held accountable for not having the skills to have handled that conversation better. And I don't think I've ever known how to keep a secret. I don't like secrets. I think you're as sick as your secrets. Like, I just have this belief that, like, the more you hold it in, and maybe this is trauma, right? The more you keep in, because when you think it needs to be a secret, then what are you telling yourself about that thing and about what those consequences of letting that thing be known are? I believe that if I think there's something that someone can't know about me, then I'm looking at myself in a way that maybe isn't as adaptive as it could be. And maybe I need to question, why is that important that I keep it to myself? What's the worst that could happen?
So we're going to credit that answer to half human, half professional.
Look, I did a lot of my own work too. I've paid a lot of therapy money out, as well as probably as much money as it cost me to get my education is how much I probably paid out to therapy as well.
And Juanita, how soon, you know, walk us through, you got somebody that you're kind of interested in, whatever, at what pace are you, okay, I can let them in a little bit, right? I can tell them a little bit about this, you know, so I know that's got to be tough.
Yeah, it's almost, for me, a need to know basis. I'm not just necessarily giving out all this information. And it could be something as basic as me having a master's degree. Because, you know, the whole, oh, you're an independent woman, blah, blah, blah. You know what? That sounds great, but a lot of people can't handle that. So the more you know about me, sometimes it actually works against me. I have found that you really getting to know me as a person versus what's on paper or these facts or all these other things, like, that has actually gotten in my way a lot. So I don't give out some of those things that, let's say, look good on paper, or like if I was to give a resume and this is why you should date me. No, I really, really stay away from that. I want you to know me for who I am. The stuff that's important, you know, I got this kid, you know, like whatever's gonna affect you or the obvious, but I'm really on a need to know basis. And then when it's time and let's say we're getting serious, I will open up more, but I'm definitely, like, I'm an open book when it comes to my friends or people I know and trust. I really don't have secrets, but you don't need to know everything. And I've just kind of learned that the hard, because I used to just, yeah, I got this, I got, but later, you know, it's like, it's kind of held against you and you don't even know it. Mm. So it's a need to know. No secrets where there's something I can't tell you or I got to go to the grave with, but I'm not going to give you everything at the, you know, at the beginning.
Quam, you a second chance guy?
My second chance guy? Yeah. Everyone deserves a second chance.
Okay.
All right. Everybody. I mean, I got so many second chances in my life, dude. She's giving me a second chance, as I told you guys earlier. You know, what a lot of people don't know about me, I dropped out of high school, you know, and I still went to where I'm at. So I've gotten so many second chances. There's no way I'll never not give someone a second chance, but I won't give someone a third chance. Mm. At least not on my diamond.
Laura, your second chance, girl?
Yeah, I think grace, right? Not necessarily boundaries. Second chances with boundaries. You got to know, it's information, right? Okay, now I know the game I'm playing. Now I know whatever it is. Like, it changes the parameters under which we interact, right? Like, maybe I need to know that so that I can make different decisions about how I let you be in my life, or what I give you, or what I need, what I think I'm going to get from you, my expectations. But yeah, I mean, I think people do stuff. We make mistakes. We do, you know, dumb things. I think it's just respect, boundaries, grace.
It's tough too, because when you're extended that second chance, right, and you know you were wrong, and so now you're kind of like, you set this thing back a little bit, right? Mm-hmm. So this is second chance, but you know, it's the age old, okay, it's been 2 years. You know, why you still? Am I in or am I out? I mean, right. You know, are you, what are we doing here? Because
yeah.
I'm tired of tiptoeing, or you rolling your eyes every time a semi situation like that comes up. And then it comes to, okay, well, look, this is not working because you said you forgave me, but I don't feel forgiven. Right. Yeah. So that second chance thing has to be crystal clear. And I know when I was younger, I wasn't a second chance guy. And the reason was, is my trust leash was extremely long. So I built that out. Like, these are my deal breakers. So if you broke one of those deals, that was intentional. So that's it. We have to redefine this thing, right? Mm-hmm. And that was just me at a novice level, just making rules for myself to help me figure this thing out along the way. And, you know, then that changed. And of course, there's second chances. But you got to be careful with that. Like,
yeah,
100%. Like, I'm sorry, we made amends, you know, all this stuff. So are you going to accept me 100 or 60? Right? Because I can't do 60. Let's just save that right now. You know, and that's, for humans, that's tough. Right? Yeah. And you're so influenced depending on your maturity as a human. Yeah. Right? What have you learned? Who is your support system? Are you leaning on somebody who is really bad with relationships? Are you leaning on somebody who's, you know, got married when they were 7, right? And they're still with the guy. You know that? Those stories. So that second chance stuff is pretty slippery. Miss Juanita, second chance?
You know what?
I'll get to you.
I've always been a second chance person, but I think at this point in life, whatever they did in the beginning, it might just be who they are. It might be their core. It happens again, and it's never done me any good to give. And we're talking about relationships, dating, whatever. Yeah. Never done me any good to give second chances. I mean, you know, just the whole quote where when somebody shows you who they are, believe them. Yes, people can change. It's never done me any good. So at this point, I don't want to give any second chances. I mean, I kind of believe that when my husband does find me, he gonna know. He not about to be playing around. He don't want me to go off to nobody. He gonna know. He gonna snatch me up. That, like, for me, that is what I want to believe, and that is my belief. But it's never done me any good to give second chances, and I give them out. But I'm done. And I believe in grace. And even Laura said, like, you do change your boundaries. You change your expectations, but you know, you do. But when you do that, are you, like you said, are you giving 100%? I don't know how to half love. I don't know. I'm giving you everything I've got, and but if I can't do it, or if there has to be limitations for me, then I'm moving funny now too. Like, I'm not giving you all of me, because now I got this in the back of my head, and it's not genuine. So for me, it's never done me any good. And I'm kind of on the path where it's like, you know what? If it doesn't work, you meet them where they at. Thank you. Nice to meet. And, but you got to keep it moving. And I think when I do that, the next person is always better. It's always a better experience. Like everything is better when I do that.
Yeah. I was just kind of curious from you guys if there was a difference. Do you second chance? What once? Sorry, do you stop at the second chance every time in a relationship when you're in a relationship versus when you're single? Because we kind of talked about it, but we didn't really go into specifics. And I'm sitting here thinking about it as you guys talking. Like, well, in my relationship, I gave more than second. I just said I don't give more than second time. I'm like, dude, I gave a shitload of second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, right? Just to get to where I'm at right now. So I'm like, well, is there a difference, right? Is there a hard second chance no for everything, or is there like a limit or an action?
Friends, I think when you're dating, you know that that's supposed to be the quote unquote honeymoon period. Like we all selling it. We trying to, and. Facts. And so you didn't know, we're learning each other. I do get that. But if it's just that's in that person's nature, or they've done something and they're telling you, I don't know how to love, or I've never, like, it may not be it. And I'm okay with that. And thanks. But in a relationship and you're committed, like a committed relationship, I believe in that. We gonna work it out. Don't keep doing it. Now you're showing a pattern. You know, now you're showing So yes, in a relationship, I guess I feel like there is a difference.
Yeah. I think that too. Like, I think the red flags, right? Like when you know, you're like, yo, okay, I'm not going to that's not going to go away. That's not something that's not going to happen again. That is just, that's just not for me. You're not for me. That's okay. Right. But in a relationship, like long-term, like I'm like, what number chance is it? Like, I don't give it. There's no, it's not about chances. Right. It's just about stuff. It's just about, okay, am I getting my need? Like your rules change for what you need, right? Like there's this criteria that you're like, okay, I need this. I need this. I need this. But it all comes back to, at least for me, like, am I getting my needs met in terms of, do I know that I can just be who I am and this person is going to show up for me? And am I capable of seeing this person for who they are and showing up for them? And if that's the case, then, like, you know, whether or not you did this thing that bothers me is not as important as how did you come back from it? What are you, when you found out that it bothered me, did you stop and say like, oh shit, like, okay, let's, you know, or were you like, well, I didn't mean to, you know, like that wasn't my, I didn't, okay, like I'd rather have the, okay, let's just deal with it versus the, tell me why it happened or tell me what you really meant to do. I don't care about any of that. Like, let's just get on my level. Like I'm a hurt child. Help me feel better. Right. Like, I don't care what happened. I just want to feel okay. And that's, I think if that is still there, then the thing is just stuff, you know?
And one of the coldest thing I've heard in quite a while was someone saying, you know, when you're negotiating, right, or you're having that conversation, when someone says, okay, you're right, that means you've lost, you're coming from the wrong place. You want that person to say, that's right, right? It's not about you, right? You're hammering so hard, they're like, okay, you're right. So it's not solved. They just want you to shut the fuck up. Right. But when they come like, I thought about it and that's right. That means that was a good, solid conversation and you really handled that well. I thought that was pretty poignant. Juanita, dating apps. What are your thoughts on swiping left and all of that kind of stuff?
I've actually never tried a dating app. Not that I'm like against it. But I like the old school, you walking up to me at the grocery store, at the gas station, you know, hey, what's your name? I want that, the courting. And, you know, I don't like putting myself out there like that. I really don't. I kind of grown up, I guess, in the church, honestly, the man shall find the wife. I do believe that. So I don't put myself out there. I'm not accessible. You got to walk up to me. So.
And still in this day and age, you still...
courting is real. Like, I need that. I need that. So I can't imagine being on the app and going back and forth, and you showing me your best pick, I'm showing you my best pick. Like, I don't know about that. Because I don't give you the good on there, okay? So then by the time we link up, I mean, but I know a lot of people who are married, been married for years, and it works for them. But I look like the old school approach. Hey, what's your name? Can I get your number type girl?
Oh, that's crazy. Good for you. All right. So, So that's a wrap. But before I go, now that we talked about a lot of things and stuff and doing work on ourselves, and, you know, we have someone getting engaged. I'm the only married person on here. Okay. Oh, that's interesting. Yeah. So, Laura and Kwame know this, so I'm going to start with you, Juanita. Since my podcast is called I Am Necessary, everybody that comes on the show, I ask them the question, what makes you necessary? So, what makes you necessary?
Oh, man. I'm here to live the good life. I want to make you better. I want us to share new experiences together. I want to be like that person that puts, and I'm not saying relationship, but just friendships, whatever. I want to make your life better in whatever way. The love that I bring, the balance that I bring, I'm necessary.
Indeed you are. Indeed you are. Thank you guys again for taking the time to be on the show. This is the I Am Necessary podcast. My name is Marcel. As always, be needed, be necessary, and I'm out.